Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Bava Kamma Daf Lamed Vav. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a specially marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage and then go to option 2. If you're already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the Mishnah that represents the beginning of the fourth perek of Bava Kamma, Perek Shor Shenogach Dalet Vehei, as you can see quite plainly in the middle of the daf. Before we begin the actual text, let us glance at the side in the margin of our marked Gemaras, where we have a title, Nosei Klali, a general topic heading. The note reads, Shor Echod Shenogach Kama Shvorim Zeachar Zeh. One ox started goring a number of oxen, one after the other. Ma hayachas bein hanizokin hakidmin lenizokin hamuchorim. What is the relationship between the earlier victims and the later victims? When we speak about victims, of course, we're referring to the owners of these victim animals. Possibility Aleph, one possibility is bali choivos, that they have a debt to pay, or shutfim lenezek, or they're considered partners in the animal that that caused the damage. These ideas are ideas that we've seen in recent dapim, especially in view of the machlokes Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva. So our hope is this is not new information. We now turn to the Mishnah. Shor shenogach arbo v'chamisho shvorim ze achar ze. A goring ox gored four or five other oxen, one after the other. Rashi points out that even though we're dealing with multiple gorings, the aggressor animal remains with the status of tam, the animal that pays half damages. How that comes to be, Rashi explains, but for our purposes, let us just recognize that in all payments discussed currently, we're dealing with half payments. So what is the payment, schedule? Yishalem la'achron shebohem. The last one to be injured receives half his half damages. V'imyesh boi moisor yachsir l'shelofonov. If there remains a balance, then the balance is paid to the one right before the end, the second to last victim. He is to receive all of his chatzi nezek if there is enough money. Bear in mind that payment for tam comes from the value of the body of the animal that caused the damage. We call that tashlum migufo, payment from itself. And therefore, we have, we'll say, built-in limitation to how much money will be paid, as opposed to payment made in the case of a muad, where money is drawn from the owner's assets. But here we have this built-in limitation, so we can speak in terms of if after payment is made to the last victim, there remains a balance, so that is paid to the second to last victim. V'im yesh boi moisar yachsir l'shelifnei fonov. And if after paying off the second to last victim, there remains still a balance of money, so it's used to pay the victim that preceded him. V'achron, achron niskar, divrei Rebbe Meir. According to Rebbe Meir's scheme of things, the later the victim, the more likely he is to profit in terms of receiving his compensation, his due compensation. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Shor Shove Mosayim, Shenogach L'Shor Shove Mosayim, Vein Hanavei Lo Yofe Klum, an aggressor animal worth 200, that gored a victim, killed it. The victim was worth 200, the carcass is worth nothing. Ze noitel mona veze noitel mona. The owner of the aggressor animal sells his 200 zuz animal, his 200 value animal. He keeps 100 for himself, and 100 goes to the victim. The victim was damaged to the tune of 200. Half of that is 100. Chozar v'nogach shor achir shove mosayim. The same thing happened again, and the aggressor animal gored a second victim worth 200. Ho'achron notel mona, the last person will receive his 100. We did mention possibly without total accuracy, we mentioned that the animal was sold, but it means the animal is appraised and half of its value is paid to the victim. Now that animal gored again, so it's going to pay the last victim so far is going to get his full 100, and the previous two parties, namely victim number one and the owner, will be left with 50 apiece. And that's what the Mishnah goes on to say. V'shelefonov, those that preceded, ze noitel chamishim zuz, v'ze noitel chamishim zuz. The original owner and the first victim will each one maintain 50 zuz. If you add up all the numbers, of course, you can see the 200 figure. Chozar v'nogach shor acher shove mosayim. And the aggressor animal gored a third victim worth 200. Ho'achron notel mona. The last victim gets his 100, which represents half of his damages. V'shelefonov chamishim zuz. The one that was damaged prior to him keeps 50 zuz. Ushnayim horishonim dinar zahav. The first two parties, the original owner and the first victim, will keep 25 dinar. With the dinar zahav is a golden dinar. It is worth 25 zuz that we've been referring to till now. So the Rabbi Shimon pay schedule can be viewed now as follows. We have a little note on in the margin where we've noted Rabbi Shimon, and you can see the Nizak Shlishi, the last victim, is getting his full 100. The second to last victim, the Nizak Sheni, 50. The first victim and the owner, 25 apiece. Once again, when you add up all of these numbers, you'll see the original 200 figure. On the side of our Gemara in the margin, we have a Nosei/Mivneh heading, a topic heading combined with a structural note, which reads, Birur, a clarification. The Gemara attempts to clarify, Eich lahamid horeshav ha-seifa. How shall we set up the Resha and the Seifa of the Mishnah? It's true that we have names already in the Mishnah. We see Rabbi Meir, we see Rabbi Shimon. They represent, we'll say, later schools of thought or later opinions. We want to find who they are based upon, earlier Tanaic authorities that they may be based upon. Hence, we have in our note, Aleph, Kerebi Yishmael. You'll see that we're using a double underline to keep track of our attempts to assign various opinions to these names, Rabbi Shmuel and later Rabbi Akiva. So, do we say Rabbi Shmuel, Diomar Bale Chovois Ninhu? The relationship between the earlier victims and the later victims is one of Bale Chovois. In other words, the latter victims have a debt to collect from those that preceded them. Oi, Rabbi Akiva, or possibly the opinion of Rabbi Akiva is the basis of our opinions in the Mishnah. Diomar, Tura, Deshutfi, Hu. The victims all become partners in this aggressor animal. That once an animal wreaks damage, the victim and the owner are now partners in that animal. That's Rabbi Akiva's approach. These approaches we've seen before. We made reference to them even earlier in our shiur. The Gemara opens with a long question. Masnisen money. Our Mishnah is according to whom? Delo k'Rabbi Shmuel v'lo u'delo k'Rabbi Akiva. It doesn't seem to match either Rabbi Shmuel nor Rabbi Akiva. And this long question continues to the top line of Amud Beis, and the Gemara points out why it doesn't seem to match either one of these opinions. If the relationship between the later victims and the earlier victims is one of Bale Chovois, where the latter, where there is a debt that's owed, as opposed to being partners in the aggressor animal, then if you're talking about debts, there's a rule that the earlier your claim, the more strength you have in demanding collection. Hi, achron, achron, niskar, the language of the Mishnah. We have a little arrow to the side of the Gemara text. You can align it with the arrow above, and you can see there, the expression achron achron niskar, that would be inappropriate if we're viewing the victims as bale chovois. Rishon rishon niskar mi boyale. It would have been more appropriate to say that the earlier you are as a victim, the greater, the stronger your claim is. And yet our Mishnah doesn't say that. Just to illustrate this idea, when you're dealing with debts, if, let us say, Mr. X borrowed money from several people, from Mr. A, Mr. B, and Mr. C in that order. And Mr. X has, we'll say, limited funds, or he sold fields after having borrowed the money. The earlier your claim on Mr. X, Mr. A in our example, the stronger his claim is on any properties that Mr. X may have in his possession or may have sold. So the Baal Chov classification would result in the earlier your claim is, the greater chance you have in receiving the payment. Our mission doesn't say that, though. If you were to understand our Mishnah as being in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, then which says that the victim is an owner in partnership with the original owner. Hi, the language of the Mishnah. Again, we have a little star. You can see where this quote is coming from. The Mishnah said, Yesh boy moisar. If after paying the last victim, there is a balance, it said in our Mishnah, Yachsiu l'shelefonov. The balance is paid to the immediate victim that preceded him. So in our illustration, we had three victims, and that is in our Mishnah's illustration. The Mishnah says that after the last one is paid off, if there remains a balance in terms of the money available to pay for the damages, the second to last fellow benefits. We're continuing at the top of Omid Beis, where the Mishnah said Yachsur l'shelefono, but Yachsur l'kulom miboyale. The balance should have been distributed in a prorated fashion to all of them, to all of the victims. After all, as far as the relationship, according to Rabbi Akiva, all of the victims become partners in the aggressor animal. So the last person is a claimant of damages from all of them, all of those that preceded him. They are all partners. So the last victim gets his chatzi nezek, gets his half damages. If there happens to be a balance, it should then be distributed equally or in a prorated fashion amongst all of the previous victims. So, at this point, we don't have clarity on who the author of the beginning of our Mishnah is. Once again, just so you make no mistake, our Mishnah had a name. There was the name of Rebbe Meir appeared, but our question is, upon whom is Rebbe Meir's opinion based? Is it Rebbe Shmuel or Rebbe Akiva? And so far we're demonstrating that the language of the Mishnah doesn't seem to parallel either Rebbe Yishmuel nor Rebbe Akiva. The Gemara answers, and you'll note we have a long answer marking. Omar Rava, Li'olam k'Rebbe Shmuel, di Omar Bale Chayva Yisninu. In truth, Rebbe Meir is based on Rebbe Shmuel that says that the victims are Bale Chov. They have a claim, a debt to collect, so to speak, a monetary claim, as opposed to the partnership concept. Udekashiloch, and we raised a question, Achron Achron Niskar Rishon Rishon Niskar Miboyale. If they are viewed as creditors, then the Rishon Rishon, the earlier the victim, the stronger your claim is. And the Mishnah didn't say that. The Mishnah indicated the latter one has the stronger claim. Hocha b'mayaskinon, our Mishnah that says the last one benefits, is a Mishnah that has a very specific circumstance behind it. Kegoin shetofsu nizak ligvois heimenu v'naase alov kishomer socher l'nezikin. At each point that damage took place, the victim grabbed the animal as a means of payment. He grabbed it to ensure himself that he would have a source of payment. After all, we are talking about a short tam, and the source of payment is the animal itself. The victims, each victim here, as soon as he was damaged, he grabbed the opportunity, literally, grabbing the animal that gored his animal. And as such, he became a guard. He became a watchman, a shomer over the animal. Now, as a shomer, he bears sole responsibility for damage that the animal wreaks afterwards. So that the second to last victim had grabbed the animal before the final damage took place, and under his watch, the animal gored the last victim. So the last victim has a claim, has the strongest claim for payment. The Gemara asks, "I hochi, if so, that the nizak had grabbed the shore, and with that we were able to understand why achron achron niskar is stated. But if that be the case, Yesh boi no moisar yachsir l'shelafonov, the Mishnah's language was, if there is a balance after the last victim received his payment, so the balance goes to the second to last victim, that wouldn't be accurate here, though. Yachsir l'bailim miboy alei, whatever balance is left should go to the original owner. After all, the original owner, as soon as the animal created its first damage, the first victim had grabbed the animal as a means of payment. It was no longer, we'll say, under the watch of the original owner. And, we'll say, up till the end of the story of the Gorings, the owner is basically innocent. He's out of the picture. So that all of the victims had themselves turned into shomrim, guards, watchmen over the animal. And each time they did not fulfill their responsibility in any maximum way, and subsequent damages resulted, why then should the owner have to lose out, so to speak? After paying the last victim, if there's any balance left, that should go to the owner. So the Gemara says, in effect, in truth, you are right. Omar Ravina Hachi Kotoni. Thusly, one is to understand the Mishnah. The half of the animal, the half value of the animal, that after the last victim was paid, he's paid his chatzi nezek. If we use simple numbers, as we've been using in the Mishnah, the aggressor animal was worth 200. The last victim was worth 200. The carcass worth nothing in this case. The last victim gets his 100. There's a balance of 100. That balance of 100 goes to the owner. There could be a situation, though, where after the owner gets his 100, we spoke about the last victim getting his chatzi nezek. If the chatzi nezek is worth less than the value of the damage, that of that last damage was in fact less than 100, there is a balance. Let me repeat. The owner's share, that remains securely for the owner. So if you had an aggressor animal worth 200, half of that value, the 100, goes to the owner. The question remains, how much did the last victim get paid in paying his half damages? If after paying his half damages, there remains a balance, so then, the victim before will get payment. And that's what Ravina says here when he says, Hachi Kotoni, thusly one is to understand the Mishnah. Im yesh boi moisar b'nezokov yachsir l'shelefonov. If there is a balance in the money that's used to pay off damages, so then, if there's something left, namely the last victim experienced damages, but were not that much, so we were able to pay off all of his chatzi nezek, a balance remains. So the Mishnah tells us, use that to pay the second to last victim. But after all is said and done, the owner's portion, that we do not touch. V'chein ki osa Ravin, Omer Rabbi Yochanan, Ravin said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, likewise, Mishum Pshias Shoimrim Nogu Ba. The explanation of our Mishnah was, in order to explain why it said Achron Achron Niskar, if we are following Rabbi Yishmael, that's because the victims, each one, grabbed the aggressor animal right after he experienced his damage. And with that, we understand why the earlier victims are, we'll say, are more liable than the last victim. B'mai ukimta. So far, how did we set up the beginning of our Mishnah? K'Rebbe Yishmael. As we just explained, in the spirit of Rebbe Yishmael, that the victims of gorings are viewed as creditors vis-a-vis the owner of a debt that they have to collect. E hachi. If our Mishnah is in the spirit of Rebbe Yishmael, Amos Seifa. Continue reading the Mishnah, and let's see if that works out. And it's not going to work out on our first read-through. Notice we have a long question marking. What you can see now is simply a quote of the entire Seifa of the Mishnah that we've already explained. But in reading the Seifa, you're going to see that the relationship of the victims of the gorings is one of a partnership nature. And that works out like Rabbi Akiva. So we have a Mishnah with, we'll say, a inconsistency in terms of original authorship, where the beginning is assigned to the Rabbi Yishmael school of thought, and the continuation of the Mishnah according to Rabbi Akiva, and that's not a comfortable position to be in. So now let's see the Gemara inside. We continue. Ihachi, if so, that our Mishnah is assigned to Rabbi Shmuel, as far as the beginning of the Mishnah was concerned, Amos Seifa, continue reading the Mishnah. And in the frame, as we said, we have the entire quote. Rabbi Shimon Oimer, Shor Shove Mosayim Shenogach Shor Shove Mosayim Veina Nevela Yofe Klum. A 200 value aggressor animal killed a victim also worth 200, carcass worth nothing, zenoi telmona vezenoi telmona. Original owner gets 100, and the first victim gets 100. That's chatzi nezek. Chozar v'nogach shor acher, shove mosayim. The aggressor animal, again, killed a second victim. Ho'achro no telmona, the last victim gets 100, which is his full chatzi nezek. V'shelafonav, the owner and the first victim, ze noitel chamishim zuz, v'ze noitel chamishim zuz. Each one keeps, takes 50. In other words, whereas after the first nezek, the owner and first victim had 100, now they have to pay in equal amounts, they have to pay to the second victim, each one paying 50 of each one's respective 100. What do we see here? We see that the first victim became a partner in the aggressor animal along with the owner, so they bear equal responsibility, each one then paying the same amount to the last victim. Chozar v'nogach shor shove mosayim. And now a third goring took place, and it happened to also be worth 200. Ho'achron, the last one who is a victim, noitel mona, he gets 100. How does he get the 100? Because each one of the previous individuals was paying half the amount that they had received. So the result of that is, when we speak about the third one getting his full 100, v'shelefonav, the second victim, noitel chamishim. Up till this point, he had 100, but he's paying half damages from his share of the animal. His share of the animal was to the tune of 100. So he pays his share of the chatzi nezek. How much is chatzi nezek? If the animal to him is worth 100, So 50 is half of 100. Vishnaim Horishonim, Dinozov. Dinozov is 25. And the two before, each one of them up till the third damage had 50. Each one pays half of their respective holdings in the animal. They each one pays 25. And hence we see how the third party got his 100. But this whole analysis, Ason Rabbi Kiva, this comes out like Rabbi Kiva's approach, Yamatura Deshutfi Hu, that when damage takes place, the victim becomes a partner in the aggressor animal. Reishal Rabbi Shmuel Vasefa Rabbi Kiva, should we say then that our Mishnah begins with Rabbi Shmuel's point of view, and the continuation of the Mishnah flips into Rabbi Akiva's point of view? Amri in. We answer yes. The Reisha is in accordance with Rabbi Shmuel, and the Seifa is in accordance with Rabbi Akiva. Dehomar le Shmuel Rav Yehuda. Shmuel had said to Rabbi Yehuda, Shinana is a complimentary expression meaning sharp one or wise one. Shvok masnisen v'ta basroi. Shvok literally means abandon the Mishnah, but it means don't trouble yourself to set up Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon that appear in our Mishnah, all both of them according to one opinion, one school of thought. Rather, Reisha Rabbi Shmuel, the beginning of the Mishnah, which had Rabbi Meir's name, is in accordance with Rabbi Shmuel that the victims of damage are creditors, Bali Chovos, Visefa, Rabbi Kiva. And Rabbi Shimon's presentation is in accordance with Rabbi Kiva that says that once your animal is gored, you become a shareholder, a partner in that aggressor animal. As you can see, we have a slash mark, which indicates that that which follows is a totally new train of thought. The Gemara opens up with a Tanaic source that doesn't seem to have any relevance to the topic we've been discussing. And the reason for the appearance of this source is that in the course of the Gemara's discussion that follows, an attempt to clarify a particular point is going to be a quote from our Mishnah. Hence, the relevance of the following topic to our daf. On the side of the Gemara, we have a mivneh, a structural note. Very shortly, you're going to see triangles. They represent shnei maisim, two incidents, shetoka echad l'chavero, where a person, toka is an expression where Rashi has two pshatim. One is that someone banged someone opposite their ear. Another approach is someone trumpeted, like the word tkia, we associate often with a shofar. So someone trumpeted in someone's ear. The Gemara now. Tanan Hasam. It is taught in the following Mishnah. Hatakea lechavero noisein loy sela. One who damages his friend through this form of damage, tokea, he pays a sela. Rashi points out that the sela payment is for embarrassment. This payment is besides or in addition to pain and depreciation and medical costs if those exist. So this took place. One was Tokel Chaveri pays a sela. Rabbi Omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi Aglili Mone. A mone is 100 zuz or 25 sela. It's a big. It's quite a big discrepancy, but that's what we see. First opinion says sela, second opinion says mone. Now we have a story. You'll notice we have a long marking. We call it a Maisa, long Maisa, which takes us to the third line from the top of Daf Lamed Zayin. Hahu Gavra de Toka Lechavrei. There was a person that did this kind of damage to his friend. Shalchei Rav Tuvia Bar Matona Lekamei de Rav Yosef. Rav Tuvia sent the issue to Rav Yosef. Sela Tsuri Tanan Oisela Medina Tanan. The Tanakhama spoke about the payment of a Sela. There are two currency standards, though, that exist. There's the Tsuri standard and the Medina standard. It just so happens that the Tsuri standard is 8 times greater than the Medina standard. So that if you have a Tsuri Sela, that coin is worth 4 zuz, 4 dinar. The Medina Sela is worth 1/8, namely 1/2 a zuz. The Mishnah teaches, Tokel Chaver Nosen Lo Sela. Rav Tuvia's question is that a Sela worth 4 zuz or worth 1/2 a zuz? I take it for granted that you know that a zuz is a form of currency. Omar Lay, Tenisua. So Rav Yosef says, you can have your question answered by looking at our Mishnah. It said in our Mishnah, Ushnaim Horishenim Dinar Zahav. We had a series of gorings by the same aggressor animal, and we saw how in our Mishnah's example, the third victim received 100, the second victim received 50, and the first two kept 25. 25. The Mishnah spoke in terms of a dinar zav, that's 25 dinar kesef, 25 silver dinars. Ve'i salka daitach toni tana sela medina. If you were to think that the Tana, when it makes reference to a Sela, he speaks in terms of the Medina rate. The Medina rate, a Sela Medina is 1/2 a zuz, or a half a dinar. If that were true, then Niflog Venisni, in our Mishnah, we could have had a fourth victim, and the result of that would have been ad tracer sela. In other words, you would have had the last victim receiving his full 100. That would be the fourth victim receiving 100, the third victim receiving 50, the second victim receiving 25. 25 dinar, 25 dinar, and the owner and first victim would have had 12.5 dinar apiece. 12.5, that half is in effect a sela, is a medina standard. It's 1/2 a zuz or 1/2 a dinar. Yet the Mishnah didn't give us a list of 4 victims. Why not? So this is what Rav Yosef is trying to prove. From the fact that our Mishnah gave us only 3 victims, the Mishnayos, when it gives examples, it's not going to give an example in terms of 1/2 a dinar. So we see that the coin standard that the Mishnayos use is the Tsuri standard. Just to repeat, if the Mishnayos use the Medina standard, so in saying 12.5, I would have had that half is in fact a Medina Zuz, a Medina Dinar. The avoidance on the part of our Mishnah indicates that Mishnayos don't use the Medina standard. Omar Lay. So Rav Tuvia, hearing Rav Yosef's answer, he rejects it. He says, Tana ki ruchlo lisni velezel. Do you think that our Tana is like a merchant that displays all of his wares? Namely, the Mishnah gave us an example of three victims. It could have very easily given us a fourth example, but it's not the style of Mishnayos to spell out all the possibilities, all of the examples that one could give. So the as far as Rav Tuvia is concerned, the absence of the half dinar as an example in Mishnah is not indicative of the Mishnayos avoiding the Tsuri standard. My Havi Allah. Here the Gemara is asking, so what are we to do regarding the Tokei L'Chavero? How much is paid? We said no sein lo sela, but how much is that? Is the sela spoken of 4 zuz, or is the sela spoken of a half a zuz? Pashtua meho diomer of Yudam Arav. The answer was resolved, Pashtua, to resolve the question from the teaching of Rav, which is as follows. Kol kesef, aleph, ha'omur b'tura kesef tsuri, beis, v'shel divrayim, kesef medina. Kesef, when referred to by the Torah, in other words, a Torah-ordained payment, those values that you see stated in the Torah is in terms of the Tsuri standard. V'shel divrayim, money payments that are dictated by the rabbis, call them rabbinical payments, I should say amounts dictated by the rabbis for payments. Our example of toka l'chavero, no sein lo sela. That sela, that amount, is a shiur derabbanan, an amount dictated by the rabbis. So that payment rate is kesef medina in terms of the medina standard. And bottom line, then, the victim of the tokei l'chavero would be entitled to receive a half a zuz, half a dinar. You've noticed, I'm sure, we use the term dinar and zuz interchangeably. Omar le hahu gavra, the victim in our story, we had at the triangle, you saw hahu gavra, the toka l'chavre, there was someone that attacked with a tkia, a victim. So the victim said, since the amount that I'm entitled to is a mere half a zuz, half a dinar, I don't want it. Nesve laniyim, give it to the poor. Hodr amarle, and then that same person had second thoughts, and he said, Nesve nihali, give it to me, give me the half a zuz. Ezel v'ivri bay nafshoy. I'll use it to help me get better. I'll buy some food or medicine, and I'll heal myself. Omar le Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef says, sorry, buddy. Kvar zochu bay aniyim. Your initial remark was to donate the half zuz to the poor. At that point, the poor became entitled to it, merited it, became the ones to whom the debt must be paid. V'yaf al gav deleko aniyim hochan, even though in our immediate locale there are no impoverished individuals, that doesn't mean that you can keep the money for yourself. Anan yad aniyim anan. Rav Yosef was the gabai tztoka. He was in charge of the charity fund. And he says, Rav Yosef is saying, I am the long arm of the poor. And this concept of a long arm, of a rabbi, of a Beis Din, being the representatives of the poor, is illustrated in the following. D'omar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, Yesoimim, orphans, the Gemara continues at the top of the Daf Lamed Zayin. Einon Tzrichin Prusbol. Orphans and the poor are interchangeable concepts. We'll say oftentimes orphans are in fact poor. They do not have to write out a formal prusbol document. Briefly, a prusbol is a rabbinic instrument that enables people to collect their debts after the Shemitah year. The Shemitah year ordinarily cancels debts. We can speak about Shemitah nowadays canceling debts on a rabbinic level. And in order to, we'll say, circumvent the loss of your money that you may have loaned out, you can collect it by having a document called a prusbol prepared, which in effect says, I, the creditor, give my debts, my rights to the debts, to the judges of this court. And that does not represent a violation of the rules of Shemitah canceling debts. Shemitah cancels personal debts, not debts that are held by the court. When it comes to Yesoimim, when it comes to the poor, or when it comes to the orphans, they don't need to prepare a formal prusbol. V'chein toni Romi Bar Chama. Romi Bar Chama teaches in the following Tanaic source, HaYesoimim Einon Tzrichin Prusbol. Rabbi Gamliel Ubeis Dino Avim Shel Yesoimim Hoyu. Yesoimim don't have to prepare a formal prusbol. Any debts that these orphans may have, that their, let's say their father had extended loans to people, died before collecting them, and a Shemitah year went by, the orphans are entitled to collect their debts even without a formal prusbol, because Rav Gamliel and his court represents the Yesoimim. So this idea of the court being the, we'll say, the long arm of the poor has Tanaic precedent. Another incident with Toka. Chanan Bisha. Bisha means bad. Bad Chanan. You'll see how appropriate that title is shortly. So Chanan Bisha, Toka Le Lahu Gavra. He damaged someone through this Toka form of damage. Trumpeted in someone's ear. Also Le Kamei de Rav Huna. The case came to Rav Huna. Omar Le Zil Hav Le Palga de Zuza. Here you can see the common theme. Not only is the toka form of damage a common point between this and the previous story, but also the payment rate, namely one half azuz. So, havele zuzo mocha. Chanan Bisha, who owed the money a half a zuz, he had in his possession a full zuz coin that Rashi says pusa tsuroso. It was it's the imprimatur on the coin, the minted coin, had been rubbed out. And boy lemeisva le mine palga de zuza. He wanted to. Here, without translating literally, but he wanted to get change for his zuz. He wanted to get two half zuz coins for it, or possibly he wanted to take the coin from the way the Gemara says lo have mishtakile. Rashi says lo have mishtakile lo hoyo yochol hotzio. He couldn't spend it. Alternatively, If he was going to try to get change, or he was going to spend it to buy an item worth half a zuz, and he would then get change, a half a zuz coin, and use that to pay off the debt that he has as a result of the damage he he wrought upon this victim. But lo hava mishtakele, as we read, no one would take it. No one, he couldn't use it in any commercial transaction. So he had no access to a half a zuz. So what did Bad Chanan do? Toka le achrina. He blasted in this guy's ear a second time. Fiyahave nihale. Well, two half zuz payments is a full zuz. He had a full zuz. It was an eroded type of zuz coin, but nevertheless, it was a full zuz, and he paid the victim with that. And I'm sure you can appreciate all the more how appropriate the title Bisha is to this particular Chanan. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access Mark Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.